It's good to be in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here. We pray that God's just going to speak to your heart, bless you, minister to you. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're out in the parking lot, or whether you're listening later on the website, we're so glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us at Barber's Grove. Now, I'm sure Leonard probably might say more about it later, but most of you have heard that Brother Terry Burris passed away in the morning, you know, something about 3 o'clock this morning. So we want to pray for his family. I know it's been a difficult time with his wife dying not too long ago, and then him. He preached a great sermon, sang for us, you know, here at Homecoming just a few weeks ago. And somebody's going to be missed. And I know he meant a lot to a number of you. So just be praying for his family. May we pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning, grateful that we can come and worship a living God, a living Savior. We can worship one who's on the throne, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Father, I do pray even right now for Brother Terry's family. Lord, I don't know them all, and I know that many people here do know them better than I do. But Father, I pray for the comfort, the peace of the Holy Spirit to surround them, to give them that strength and encouragement that only you can give. Father, I thank you for family and friends and others that will gather around and put their arms around them, say, we're praying for you, we love you. But Lord, I know that deep down inside, there's something that only the Holy Spirit can minister to somebody that's hurting. And so Father, I pray that he, the Spirit of God, who knows where the hurts are, will minister to this family. Father, now as we spend time in singing and worship, may the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts. May we have not only physical ears, but may we have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to be in the Lord's house. Amy, good to see you. It is always a pleasure. All right, let's have a hymn sing together this morning. Let's all turn, look on the board, or you can turn to 216. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, and my great Redeemer live. All right, let's all stand together. All four verses, please. Some announcements I want to share with you. Again, we're going to continue on now with the 9 o'clock Sunday school and 10 o'clock services, and of course it's still the same. It's been available on the radio in the parking lot, and everything will be basically the same as we're doing it right now. Okay, wanted to be sure you all that. And let's look next Sunday. Next Sunday we will have no evening, we have not been having any evening services, so nothing new there. Pastor Appreciation Month, and that this will be at the end of the month. We'll have a love offering for him, but like I said last Sunday, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. That means you can, anytime you want to do something special for him, and that'd be a good idea to do that to that. Samaritan Shoeboxes, I understand, Pam, they're here, right?
Yes, they're here, but they're not ready to give back because we don't have instruction sheets to go with.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
So hopefully by next Sunday.
All right, very good.
And also, Leonard, I'd like to say that we've also got soccer balls that we've ordered in the little pumps. So last year we had trouble finding those. Mm-hmm. So we've got those, and we'll figure out how much it would be each and let you know when you get your balls.
Okay, all right. And then the undie drive with Stanley Montgomery Baptist Association. Let's not forget that. You need to have items here by October the 10th and 17th. Okay, that right? That's for the undie drive and also, is that right? Okay, all right.
There's a little pile started over there.
Already started. Okay, that's good. So make it big. Make it big. Hey, Ricky and Greg, I understand you've got a great niece born. Is that right?
Born Thursday.
Oh, boy, share that with us. That's wonderful. That's wonderful news. Wonderful news. I also want to add to the fact that the NC Missions offering, we had another contribution. It took us total to $2,360, and that deserves this. All right. Any announcements that I have overlooked? Yo.
I want to thank everybody for their help on the benefit.
Yes. Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah. Jeff, I want to say something too. I believe in giving people the flowers while they can smell them. And so thank you for your hard work on that. There's no doubt that you put many, many hours in that. And God bless you, boy. Thank you. All right, any other announcements? Okay, let's go to our prayer request. As the pastor has already mentioned, I think most of you know that Brother Terry Burris went home to be with Jesus at 3 a.m. this morning. He was suffering from COVID and also some heart issues and kidney issues and all of that put together. And God called him on home, and he and Earlene are shouting on the hills of glory. And so that's the way you look at that. Amen. That's the way you go. Let's remember the Charles Hutchins family. He's dealing with cancer, and let's remember him. Tim Smith, let's remember Tim Smith. He has turned the corner. They say getting better and doing better. So let's remember Tim. Anybody else that we need to add to the prayer list? Yes, Lori. Yes. Okay.
Tuesday. Sorry.
Okay. So the legs, you may have to have some more work done, you think, maybe?
May have to do it again, yeah.
Okay, we'll be praying, son. Anyone else? Yes, Rita.
You can take my name off.
Okay, Rita. And Kenny, that goes for you too, right? You're doing well?
Doing well. Appreciate all the prayer.
Yes, Carol. No, but that's right. I got the text. Amen. Yeah, amen, Carol. Jerry and I know what it's about, and we're so glad you don't. Yeah. Anybody else? Let me go backwards just a little bit, if you don't mind. I missed something in the announcements, and I apologize before we pray. You want to meet with the stewardship committee, right? So Wes wants to meet with the stewardship committee right after service today. Okay, I got it in. I'm sorry about that. All right, any other prayer requests before we pray? Then let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, this Lord's Day. And Lord, we call it that to honor you. And Lord, we know that you give us each and every day. But this day is special that we need to worship you special. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for all the things you give us before we ever ask. We thank you for that, Lord. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that need help today. And Lord, you've asked us to be specific on our requests to you. And Lord, I'd like to be able to mention them to you this morning. We want to pray, Lord, for the Brother Terry Burris family. Pray for all the family, Lord, as they are suffering the loss of their father. The Charles Hutchins family, Lord, we pray for him as he's dealing with cancer. Tim Smith, we pray for Tim. He's glad to know that he is getting some better. But Lord, we know that he's still sick and he needs help. We pray for Jeff Kay, Lord, and as he goes back for more tests, we ask, Lord, that you would touch his body with healing. And we thank you for the good praise reports from Rita, from Kenny, and from Carol. We thank you for those praise reports. And then, Lord, as we turn our attention toward the service today, Lord, we thank you for all those who've had a part. We thank you for Kathy as she is loyal and as she stands and as she plays the piano for us each and every Sunday. And Lord, we thank you for Jeff and for Wes as they work together the sound. And then, Lord, for our pastor who comes forward today, out next, we pray a special blessing upon him today. Now go with us throughout the continuation of this day. And Lord, let us witness to someone and let us be burdened for the loss. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Now, the pastor has asked this morning in our special music that we play a song. And then we're going to let the singing towers do it. And that the quartet does it so much better than I do by myself. So we're going to let the quartet sing. Okay? Wes. Midnight Cry. Yeah, that's good. You ought to do that. All right, children, you dismissed for Children's Church. Wes, try the music.
Amen. I pray that even as I preach this morning, the thought of that song will just reverberate through your mind and through your spirit. Because we're going home soon. Do you realize right now, and I'm sure it changes every second with births and deaths, that there's somewhere between 7.5 and 8 billion people in the world. That's a lot of folks. You realize also that very soon, at least half of them are going to get their fondest wishes come true. And it may not be exactly what you're thinking, but think first. There's a big group that want a world free of Christians. I mean, the communists want us dead. ISIS, Taliban, Muslims, they want us gone. If they could, they'd kill every Christian. Isn't it interesting? I haven't thought about shooting a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran. But they want us dead. Not the Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans, but the Muslims and the others. They want us dead. In addition, there's a, sad to say, a group of people in America that want to be rid of us. I don't know, it's probably been 2 months now that I saw in a news article somebody that the media would say is an important person said the problem with America are the evangelical Christians. I mean, they have the audacity to believe that marriage ought to be between a man and a woman. They have the audacity to believe that the gay lifestyle is sinful. They have the audacity to believe that people that are healthy and don't work shouldn't live on government expense. They have the audacity to believe that people ought to dress decently, modestly. They have the audacity to believe that sex outside of marriage is sin. And if we could just get rid of those bigoted evangelical Christians, boy, the United States would be a wonderful world. Now, there's another group that just basically thinks our world is too populated. There's too many people. They're using up the resources too fast. They're polluting the world, and we need to radically reduce the population. In fact, it's probably been 15 years or so ago that there was a speaker that came to our Baptist pastors' conference and was talking about the fact that there's a group that is advocating returning the I-40 corridor back to the way it was when Columbus landed. Just woods, forest, fields. I mean, you realize you're going to do away with Asheville, Knoxville, Nashville, Memphis, Little Rock, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. and all the little towns that's in between. Just do away with the whole deal. Let it grow over in trees. I don't know where. So we got to get rid of a lot of folks if that's going to happen. And the third group are we believers. And how many of us have said recently, man, I hope Jesus comes soon. We want Jesus to come soon. We're anticipating his arrival and calling us out of here. Now, it's interesting. Not a one of us wants to die and leave everybody else behind. But if we can all get on the same bus and go at the same time, I'm good to go. I don't care whether I'm on the front seat, the middle seat, or the back seat. We're just all going. We as believers are wanting to go. Well, you know, God is about to make it all possible. You remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I woke my wife up this morning singing, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. She says, you're a morning person. I honestly believe that that angel's over in the band room of heaven practicing his trumpet, getting ready to blow and take us on home. Now, estimates are that there are something like 3 billion Christians in the world. 7.5 to 8 billion in total, but 3 billion of them Christian. Can you imagine a world when we're all gone? All of the dead in Christ. Empty the cemeteries. And all of us who are alive, gone to be with Jesus. Isn't that going to be a population reduction? And those folks that want the world without Christians are going to get their wish. And those folks who want a population reduction are going to get their wish. Because we are leaving. And I think we've got less than 10 years. Now, I don't know. You know, the Bible says only the Heavenly Father knows the exact day and time and hour. But I don't think it's going to be long. And we'll look at that in a minute. And suddenly there's going to be a great population reduction. But that's not the only population reduction. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And we'll start reading verse 1. Just read 8 verses. I'll read them sort of quickly. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown, and was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat therein to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there were given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with beast of the earth. Another fourth of the population gone. Think about it. Another 1.25 billion people suddenly gone. So suddenly you've gone from, say, 8 billion to about 3.75 billion. What a tremendous reduction in population. And you know, you talk about the beast killing, you think about how we, because of our numbers, keep the foxes, the wolves, the bears, the snakes, not under control, but at least they're not taking over. Lions, tigers, and all other kinds of ferocious beasts. Without the numbers of people, imagine a world overrun with wild animals. So I began by saying there's going to be a great reduction of population, a rapture, and then death. And you know, Jesus in Matthew and in other places talks about famines and earthquakes and other kinds of terrible problems. And here he talks about killing with the sword, with hunger, with death, with beast. A great destruction in this world. Now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're also going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's why I think it's coming soon and why you think it's coming soon. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, verse 1 and 2, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." All kinds of lies, even coming from the pulpit. You can have any kind of lifestyle you want. It doesn't matter. God's grace will let you live like a heathen. And it doesn't matter. There are other ways to heaven, like you were talking about in Sunday school. Other ways to heaven other than Jesus. All kinds of lies, seducing spirits. Your lifestyle doesn't matter. Seducing spirits. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That sounds like the evening news to me. That sounds like the world that you and I live in. People that love themselves and don't love one another. Rebellious kids. And it's promoted. It's promoted. Unfortunately, we participated in some of it by seeing these mouthy, sassy kids on TV insulting their parents and laughing at it. If I'd have done that to Ted Lauder, I might not be here right now. And some of you, it's the same thing. Most of you. We might or might not disagree. I remember, and I'm going to tell this, we were putting up pasture fence. Daddy was sitting on the tractor, and I don't know what he did to make me mad. And I'm sitting there holding the hammer, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll just knock you off that tractor. But I put my hammer down. I didn't dare. I didn't even say anything. I just kept driving the steeples in the fence to hold it to the post. I just kept doing what I was supposed to be doing. I don't know why I was so mad. All I remember is that feeling of anger. But I didn't dare insult my dad. And yet today we live in a world where, you know, a kid can sue their mom and daddy for mistreatment because they didn't give them two Snicker bars instead of one. It's a weird world. It's a sinful world. It's a world where politicians will vote things for themselves even if it ruins the country. It's a world where there's all kinds of hate, all kinds of disagreements, all kinds of evil and ugly stuff going on. And yet a lot of folks say that they're Christian, but what did Paul just say? They have a form of godliness, but they don't have any godly power. You know, I met some folks who said they're Christian and not a chance. Only the Lord knows their heart. I don't know their heart. But I see no fruit. You can tell me that's an apple tree if you want to, but if all I see on it's lemons, I doubt it's an apple tree. All kinds of sinful, ugly things going on in our world right now. Truth breakers. People whose word doesn't mean a thing. Lie to your face. Know they're lying to your face. They write a contract that says, we guarantee this, 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 this. And if you put it under a microscope, you know, even a magnifying lens won't see the print down here in the bottom that says, all of the above is a lie. It's amazing the world that you and I now live in. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, people shook hands over the sale of a farm. And because they shook hands, it was a done deal. Paul is describing the world that we live in. That's why I believe We're drawing near the end. The question is, how are we going to react to that? It's quite possible everything I've said has got you depressed, down, discouraged. But no, this is a time to be excited. It's a time to be excited. Look at Luke 21. We're going to look at Luke 21 and James 5. Luke 21 and James 5. In Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus talking, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He says, don't be going around discouraged, head down. He said, look up, said, I'm coming back. Be looking for me. And then in James 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We need to be excited. We need to be excited. I know, as a sort of an ex-farmer, this time of year you go out there in your cornfield and your wheat field and your all those other crops and they look good and you're getting excited. I'm getting the combine ready so that we can get out there and take in that harvest. It's an exciting time. Over the years, and I know people don't do it as much as they used to, but I'd go out and visit some older couple and they'd want me to go down to their cellar or to their basement and they'd have just walls of green beans and everything that they'd can. They were excited because they knew that the harvest was there. And so don't be discouraged as you think about the coming in. Be excited. But we also need to be prepared. Look in Mark 13. Mark 13. But of that day, verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find thee sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. We need to be excited and we need to be prepared. We need to examine our life. Is there anything in my life that would make me embarrassed or ashamed if Jesus comes? Anything in my life that would make me embarrassed or ashamed or unprepared for Jesus to come? Now, sad to say, this morning there are a lot of folks that say they're Christian, and maybe they are. But if Jesus were to come, you know, at this very hour, they'd be embarrassed, they'd be ashamed of what was going on in their life. We need to be excited, we need to be prepared. Third thing is we need to be busy. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. when everybody has had a chance to hear, all over the world, my son-in-law down in Australia, in the sermon he was preaching that we heard last night, said that 80-some percent of the people in the world have cell phones. Most of them of the fancy type. So they may not even have a roof over their head. They may, the place they live may be a tar paper shack. It may be a canvas over a post. But they've got a cell phone. Which means that 82% of the people in the world have the potential of hearing the gospel. I don't know how many times Pamela comes to me and says, I'm listening to so-and-so preach from Australia or here or there or yonder. You know, you can take your cell phone, and if you know how to do it, which she does and I don't, you can hear preaching all over the world at any time. If 82% of the people have cell phones and can hear the gospel, we're getting close to everybody in the world having had a chance. It doesn't say everybody's going to be saved. It says everybody's going to have a chance. Everybody's going to hear that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that Jesus Christ rose again, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, and that if we will put our trust in Him as our Lord and our Savior, we can go to heaven. And the world, when they have had a chance to hear and to believe that, Jesus said, I'm coming back. Hey, what if you were the person that led the last person to be saved? Wouldn't that be awesome? Whether it's at work or at home or whether it's a friend or a family member, whether it's somebody you just run into at Walmart, and you told them about Jesus and they accepted Jesus and that was the last one. And when they said that, they said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you and that person went through the ceiling together. Awesome. We need to be excited, we need to be prepared personally, and we need to be busy. I know there have been some times in my life over the years when I was thinking, Lord, please come, please come, please come. And then the next thought is, but wait a minute, Lord, if you come now, so-and-so's going to hell. So-and-so's going to hell. Oh, well, wait a day or two, Lord, and see if so-and-so and so-and-so can come to know Jesus. That ought to be our goal. So that when that trumpet does blow and we're all out of here, they'll go with us. Now, I realize that if I understand the scriptures, there are going to be people saved during the time of tribulation. And I praise the Lord for that. I suspect that there are people to whom we've witnessed, and they've said no and no and no. And they drive by Barbie's Grove Church on a Sunday morning, and they say, not a soul there. And 6, 7, 8 of those people talked to me about Jesus. You know, and that there was going to be a rapture. You know, maybe there's something truth to that. Maybe I better get my heart right. Maybe when the second bus comes by, I'll be on it. We need to be excited, not fearful, excited. It ought to be, you know, like, this is December 24th. Christmas is coming. Excited. Prepared. And busy. What did it say there in that scripture right before I just read from, was it Mark? The master has gone. He's assigned us his task. He has a job for us to do. And we need to be busy doing it lest he come and find us asleep. I remember at some point I told this illustration in a sermon. You know, teacher comes in first day of the class and says, on such and such a date, you got to turn in a term paper, 10 pages at least, on such and such subjects. Which person were you? You went to the library that afternoon, checked out your books, went to working on it, and had it done in a week or so. Or were you that person that, oh, that term paper's due tomorrow. Wonder if I've got some old encyclopedias or something around the house I can scramble and put up. Mama, do you know anything about that? Daddy, do you know anything about that subject? And you scramble to put something together at the last minute. Or were you the person that walked in on that morning and the teacher said, put your term papers on my desk as you come in, and you said, was that today? You don't have any students like that, do you?
Oh, no, none at all.
Jesus is coming, folks. He's coming soon. We need to be excited. Our world is ready for it. Now, those poor folks that get their wish and we're all gone and the world has no love left, not real love. The world has no kindness left. The world has not much caring left. I mean, after all, when the disaster comes, who responds? Samaritan's Purse. Franklin Graham's organization. North Carolina Baptist on Mission. And those groups from other Christian organizations. Disaster comes. 1/4 of the population's wiped out. And nobody to respond. In the meantime, we're going to be having a wonderful time around the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be having fun with Jesus. We're going to be loving on each other. We're going to be loving on our loved ones that have gone on to glory. It's going to be a hallelujah time. And I don't care if the trumpet blows this afternoon. In fact, it can blow before I get to my car. And I hope that's the way you feel about it. Excited, prepared, and busy. May we pray. Lord, I pray that if there's any person listening to my voice, whether they're here in this building, whether they're in the parking lot, or whether they're on the website, that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that today they'll come to Him and accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, all they have to do, and according to Your Word, is yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior. That He died on the cross for my sin. That He rose from the dead. And I receive Him as my Lord and Savior. I confess Him as with my mouth as my Lord and Savior. And Lord, I know that when we do that, we're going to go to heaven. And Lord, I pray for all the rest of us that already know You. We'll be excited about the fact that Jesus is coming at the midnight cry. Soon and very soon, we're going to go and meet the King. Father, I thank You that we can prepare ourselves through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If there are things in our lives that we need to repent, You'll forgive us. And then, Lord, if there's anybody that any one of us should target as a place or a person to whom we should witness before it's too late. May the Spirit lead us to that person. May the Spirit give us the wisdom and the words to say. May you direct our paths. And Father, we know that we don't save anybody, but I pray, Father, that as we respond to your leadership, the Spirit will be working in the life of that lost person. They'll come to know Jesus before it's too late. And Lord, we thank you that we can look forward with great joy and anticipation to being with you, with each other, with our loved ones that have gone on forever and ever. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, and may he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.